Hello, everyone. Welcome. And today is Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. And as always, I have to say it, wherever you are, whether you're listening live or on the replay, thank you very much. You are much appreciated. Very appreciated. And I hope everyone's having a wonderful day. It is a beautiful day here in sunny, coolish California. Hey, Brina, welcome. Frankie, welcome, welcome. And as always, I gotta upload my song here, so give me a moment. Crazy, how are you? Okay, so let's get started. Okay, so today, this show may go in a different couple ways. And just so you guys know, when I said, hey Minnesota, hey Lou, welcome. When I said, when defendants are victims, you know, should victims have a victim statement? You know, what I meant was, you know, the people who are innocent, you know, and I have three particular cases I'm going to try to fit in, you know, today to talk about. But, you know, I've been on the side, as y'all know, last week, talking about how, you know, you don't do the crime. If you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime, blah, 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 blah. But what about the defendants who are innocent? So do they, the ones that are innocent and, you know, they spent time in prison, you know, even if they were just in jail for one night, you know, but, you know, you have people who are innocent who have spent time in prison, and they were innocent. So the first case I want to bring up is, hold on for a second. Before I bring up this particular case, you know, I also want to say that, and I'm not going there, y'all, so don't worry, I'm not going there, but I am going to say this. There are people who are defendants who are innocent for being accused of things that they didn't do. And sometimes it leads to them spending time in prison. Sometimes it leads to murder. Murder, I mean, people like Emmett Till. You have Karens out there who you know, who want to, hey, chill, who blame innocent people. They're all kinds of defendants out, out there. But this particular case I want to bring up happened in Chicago to a man by the name of Gary Dotson. Okay, he was accused of rape. And he spent 8 years in prison. Okay, he went to prison in 1979. It was a huge case because Gary Dotson was the first defendant to be proven innocent through DNA. So he's the first person the DNA was first used. And if anyone is familiar with the case, it made all the headlines. Everybody was talking about Kathleen Crowell's panties because the prosecution put her underwear on the overhead screen. They were doing overheads at the time. And you saw this semen stain that supposedly belonged to Gary Dotson. But Kathleen Crowell was 16 years old. And she made up a rape allegation to explain to her foster parents her pregnancy concerns so she could obtain contraception after having consensual sex with her boyfriend the previous day. She recanted in 1985, but no one would believe her. In 1977, a police officer saw her standing beside a road, far from a shopping mall in a Chicago suburb. She had worked at Long John Silver's, and her clothing was dirt stained and in disarray. She tearfully told the police officer that she walked across the mall parking lot. A car with three young men ran towards her. Two of the men jumped out, grabbed her, and threw her into the back seat. One of them climbed in beside her. The other joined the driver in front. The man in the back tore her clothes, raped her, and scratched several letters onto her stomach with a broken beer bottle. We're going to get to the scratches. She was taken to a suburb. Rape exam was performed. And she identified Gary Dotson. But according to her, in 1985, when she recanted, she was under pressure because the police based his mugshot on a composite sketch of someone that she described. But when they picked up Dotson, there were no sign of scratches that Kathleen Crowell said that she had scratched him, and the person she described had a smooth shaven face, but Gary Dotson had a mature mustache. Okay. All of a sudden she found Jesus. Okay. In 1981, she found Jesus, and she married her high school classmate and moved to New Hampshire. Gary Dotson's in prison in Chicago. But in 1985, you know, she was getting all feeling all kinds of guilt, whatever. So she told her pastor what she had done. Pastor told her to go and recant. She did, but no one would believe her. So they petitioned the governor. And, you know, they were like, no. So finally, because of the media, the trial judge released Gary Dotson on a $100,000 bond, but he would have another trial, which found him guilty because the jury did not believe Kathleen Crowell's recantation. He went back to prison. Gary Dotson went back and forth to prison over this rape charge, you know, until he was finally, found innocent through the DNA from these famous panties. Now that scratching on her stomach that supposedly those men did to her that man, Gary Dotson, did to her, she did that herself. She scratched those letters into her stomach herself. Now, all this because she had had sex with her boyfriend, thought she may get pregnant, and wanted to get birth control. All of this. So Gary Dodson was finally released in 1988. He didn't get a full pardon until 2002. Hey, Shorty. Hey, Blunt. So this is where I say, should defendants have victim statements? Because they were victims. You know, so the next case, Janine Nicario. Again, a Chicago suburb. 9 years old. I'm sorry, I always pronounce her name wrong. Janine Nicario. 9 years old, didn't feel well. Her mother kept her home from school. Her mom went out to do some grocery shopping, left 9-year-old Janine alone. Someone broke into her house and raped and murdered her. They believe she was raped and murdered the same day. Her body was found two days later. Again, this was a huge, huge case. But they picked up and prosecuted the wrong people. And one main person, Rolando Cruz, he stayed in jail for some time until his second conviction was finally overturned in 1995. The rape murder happened in 1972. And again, it was proven that Rolando Cruz absolutely did not do it. Let's talk about the McMartin school trial in Los Angeles. You know, a case that lasted 7 years and cost over $15 million because hundreds of parents accused McMartin daycare or day school was molesting their children. It was not true. And this, you know, this again, you know, I mean, so again, I say, do defendants have the right to a victim statement? Should defendants be able to demand that their accusers come back to court where they have to sit there and listen to whatever it is they have to say? Because, you know, someone once told me when we were talking about someone who was released from prison, they said, well, yeah, they walked away. You know, I don't feel too sorry for them. They walked away with $20 million because they sued the state. Okay, and this person, hey, boss, welcome. You know, this person has spent years in prison. Does money make up for the years that you spend in prison? Does money make up for the fact that, you know, you miss birthdays, you miss weddings, people growing up, you miss the funerals of your parents or some other loved one? So I say the same thing to people who were accused of a crime and they were innocent. The same thing that I say for people who are the perpetrator and actually did it. You know, you destroyed someone else's life and you made it where that person is missing out. And Blunt said it helps them become reestablished in society. Yeah, it does, you know, but for some people, I mean, that's that's hard. You have people who literally went into prison, you know, when cell phones were not around. They come out and it's like, you know, what is this? I mean, the world has changed a lot just in 10 years. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were gone for 20, 30? And some people cannot assimilate back into society because they're so used to prison. Then you have people who, because they were in prison, what prison has done to them, and prison may have made them a criminal. So when they come out, they are out there robbing, you know, stealing from folks. And then they go back to prison. You know, what do you do? Now, I personally think that if you accuse someone and you know them, you knowingly accuse someone, yeah, you can sue the state and what have you. But I say sue the person who put you there, who wrongfully accused you, and you know, ruin their life. And when I say ruin their life, yeah, I am getting petty, and yes, I am going there. I say you sue them for every dime that they have. Take their house, take whatever it is. Make them suffer. Because as we know, people are more willing to believe the negative than they are the positive. You know, and then for the McMartin school trial, the school was, you know, shut down, closed. Now that happened in 1983. In 2005, one of the children, as an adult, retracted the allegation. He said, "Never did anyone do anything to me, and I never saw them doing anything. I said a lot of things that didn't happen. I lied. Anytime I would give them an answer that they didn't like, they would ask again and encourage me to give them the answer they were looking for. I felt uncomfortable and a little ashamed that I was being dishonest. But at the same time, being the type of person I was, whatever my parents wanted me to do, I would do." And the McMartin school case was the first case where, when you had children who said they were molested, they would show the doll, and they would have the doll, and they would say, point to where it is, you know. And a lot of those children were saying things that children don't have that vocabulary at that time to say certain things. And some people believe that trial went on and on and on, retrial after retrial after retrial, because they wanted a conviction. But it was always either the jury was hung or something went wrong, whatever, and they had to do a retrial. But those people were innocent. And Blunt says, "I agree." Shorty says, take it all. I mean, seriously, I say take it all. If it means that your family is ruined, oh well. What did you do to my family? Could my family walk down the street without someone yelling, "Oh, you know, your son's a rapist," or, you know, "Your mother molested a child," or, you know, you raped and killed someone? And finally, let's talk about Michael Jackson. Now, I have always been one of those people who have thought that Michael Jackson was innocent, never molested any children. There may be people who think that I'm wrong. But as we know, and one thing that Katherine Jackson said was when Michael Jackson died in 2009, that August, the father of the first quote unquote victim, accuser, he killed himself. The media did not play it up at all. A lot of people didn't even know that it happened. And Katherine Jackson said that she was upset about that. And right after the suicide, and I remember when the son did this, he said, "Michael never did anything to me. He never hurt me. My father encouraged me to do it." And when the Jackson family asked them for him to say it in public and out loud, he was reluctant to do so. I mean, why? The person that you accuse is dead. The father who you say made you do it is dead. Why can't you say it for the rest of my family and to clear my son's name? I don't know, y'all. So that's what I think. You know, it's just, you know, again, I say, life is short. Life is very short. And 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, for some people, it may be a long time, but for other people, it could be a lifetime, and sometimes it is. Hey, Power Girl. You know, so I just don't, you know, when you accuse someone, and we're not talking about, you know, accusing somebody, they took my cookie, they ate my lunch or whatever. I mean, when you accuse someone where you can really get them into trouble, do people sleep at night? Some people do. Some people do. Some people, they find Jesus. But it's always harder to get somebody out of prison than it is to send them to prison. And a lot of times, you know, the prosecution, they don't want to, you know, have to show they made a mistake. How many people have been sent to prison because of a corrupt cop? Jordy says, because they'll make them look bad. Yeah, they will. They will make them look bad. You know, but I can really give a crap of how it makes you look. I'm sitting in prison. So I'm going to play both sides here now. So do you give the person a break if they went to prison for something they didn't do? Spend time in prison, got out, and turned to a life of crime. I'm not saying they murdered someone. Let's say they broke into a store. Let's say they held somebody up at gunpoint. Should the judge be more lenient on that person? Or should, you know, what if the defense was, well, I was this nice person when I went in, but spending years in prison changed me? Is that a valid defense? Is that a valid defense for someone to say? Sure, she says, yes. And then we have a maybe from Minnesota. I mean, I don't know. There's just, you know, here I go with crazy's delicious word. There are so many variables.
Variables. Hey, y'all.
I mean, so Shorty, I mean, what do you think? Because I truly believe, you know, if you are found innocent and someone sent you to prison, I say ruin your life because you ruined mine.
Mm-hmm. Cause you ain't catch the right one. You just want to hurry up and get somebody behind bars, but the real one out there that's doing all the messed up stuff is still out there doing what they doing. But then they take away, you know, years of your life, you missing out on a whole bunch of stuff, and then when you get out, you be like, a lot of stuff done changed. So it's like, what can they do? All they can do is what? Say sorry, and then what? Give you back pay? That ain't nothing towards your life though. And then once you actually do something to get locked up, and then you be like, they be like, oh, you did this, this, and that. I'm like, okay, but when you first locked me up, I ain't really do nothing. I got accused for doing something I ain't really do. And then y'all actually found the person who actually did all of this. Sometimes they find them, sometimes they don't. Then they still gonna reprimand you even harder. They ain't gonna take no leniency towards you. Not at all.
Okay.
Hey, Juju.
All right. And welcome, Juju and Angel Bear, sweet Angel Bear. So, Shorty, let me ask this. In 1993, Jackson was accused of child sexual abuse by 13-year-old boy Jordan Chandler and his father, Evan Chandler. Jordan said he and Jackson had engaged in acts of kissing, masturbation, and oral sex. While Jordan's mother initially told police she did not believe Jackson had molested him, her position wavered a few days later. Evan, the father, was recorded discussing his intention to pursue charges, which Jackson used to argue that he was the victim of a jealous father trying to extort money. Jackson's older sister, Latoya, accused him of being a pedophile. She later retracted, saying that she had been forced to do so by her abusive husband. So, Shorty, I'm going to ask you. You don't want to answer. You don't have to. But do you think Michael Jackson was guilty? Because I believe that he was innocent. And like Lou said, there's always questions around Michael Jackson.
I believe he was innocent. You want to know why? Because people do stuff like that just to extort money out of these people. Like them famous rich people and stuff like that. Don't get it twisted. There's people out there that does that junk and give them hush money just to keep it on the low low. But people who didn't do nothing like that, they do that junk just to extort them out of money. And if they don't want to do it, they're going to sit up there and make up a bold-faced lie. Oh, he did this to me. He did that to me. But when they do that, that messes up somebody's life.
Okay. And in 2009, I remember Jackson passed away in 2009. FBI files on Jackson release in 2009 revealed FBI's role in the 2005 trial. So that was the second trial and the 1993 allegations, and showed that FBI found no evidence of criminal conduct on Jackson's behalf.
Wow.
So, once again, I think that I think two things about Michael Jackson. I think that he was an easy target just because of the type of person he was, and people knew how he loved children. And I also think that the second time around, like after that first trial, I'm pretty sure his family said something. I was not there. I don't know. I'm just assuming. But I think that Michael made a mistake by continuing to invite children to his home.
Yep.
I think after that first time, it's like, Michael, you know, yes, you love kids, you know, you like helping them, you know, you do this, you do that. Stop inviting children to your home. Don't do it unless you have a, even if you have a ton of people around, just don't do it. Just don't. go visit a hospital where the paparazzi's there and everybody's following you around and nothing can happen. You know, go to an orphanage or something, but don't invite children to your home. That's what I think that Michael should have done. Hey, Chill, welcome.
Hey, what's happening, everybody?
Hey, Chill. It's been Chill. A minute. How are you?
I'm well, actually. I'm always good. Yeah. I feel like these situations are typically normal. Like you get high profile cases, but then you get just regular people that go through this all the time. You know what I'm saying? I can name a bunch of fellas I went to school with, football players, basketball players. I mean, it's always a bunch of cases out of each. Probably you got that's just a you just talking about some of them in Chicago. You know what I mean? So we had the one boy that got blamed for doing something like that. He was in high school and he was on his way to the NFL. And he got blamed for, you know, rape, and she didn't do it. He was just a black guy. She was embarrassed or something like that. Didn't want to tell her mom or parents that she was having sex with a black guy. And then, you know, hey, you know, that happens. I mean, it's been happening. Things like that always happen. And it's no surprise, it's sad. But overall, the person that's the, well, number one, a lot of times they're kids too. And although you might have an angst towards them, they still got to learn as well. You know what I mean? I mean, you feel the need that you got to, you know, your parents are going to feel like some, or your community or whoever feels some kind of way to where you got to lie and put somebody in jail or in harm's way because of it. That's a problem within itself. Like that's, and you're still making the decision as a 16, 15. I want to be based for the rest of my life on a bad decision, whether it's in favor of someone else, me or someone else or not. I don't want to be based on a decision that I made, a bad decision that I made for the rest of my life, which tends to happen. And
Wait. So you're saying that if you accuse someone when you're 16 and it sent them to prison or ruined their life, you should not, because you're 16 years old and you made a bad decision, you should not have to deal with that for the rest of your life?
Oh, you're going to have to deal with it, period. You can't avoid that. I'm saying that I don't want that to define me, though.
Okay, but the person who you accuse, a lot of times it defines them, because, you know, when you get convicted, I mean, whether you're acquitted or not, when you go look for a job, you know, they say, have you ever been convicted of a crime? You have to say yes, because you were convicted. When they do a background check, they're going to see that you were convicted. They're not going to care that you were free. Well, what happened? Well, you raped that girl. You said, I mean, it's like, are they really listening to, yes, but she was lying, or he did this, or that didn't happen, or whatever.
That's gonna happen regardless. When it happens. My point is how you get over it. Like that part, yeah, that's gonna happen regardless. What you're saying is gonna happen regardless. And I mean, that can happen without it happening. People will have those biases regardless. And when you go to jail for something that, even if you didn't do it, that's just gonna happen. That's just how it works. But that's the unfortunate part. We all know that's the unfortunate part. But the other tell of that is that if I'm 13, 14, 15, it's still messed up that I'm still especially if I found lying about it. Now I'm not, that's just a horrible, it's no benefit to either side of that, is what I'm saying. Even if you look, just looking at it from both sides, it's just a horrible position to be. It's a horrible, you have to live with that after telling that lie. That's a horrible weight. Which is warranted, obviously, because you put it among yourself. But to have to learn it at such a young age and it define you, that's rough. I don't mean, because we all make mistakes. I might have killed somebody when I was 13. I might have done some stupid stuff
killing somebody when you're 13. I mean, that's not stupid stuff. It's murder. That person's gone.
Right. I'm saying whatever horrible thing it is. I don't want it to define me, right?
Okay, all right.
A mistake. So when does a mistake not be, you can't erase it. So what I'm supposed to do, jump off the building? So what's the result? What I'm supposed to do, put myself in jail for the rest of my life? what am I supposed to do? I mean, how, just for people can be satisfied about their redemption, about their hatred to me, because that's really what it is.
Okay, I'm going to answer that, but let me just read what Lou says. Lou says, hold on. He was talking about Michael. He says, I believe he was guilty. A lot of famous people are into pedophilia. Whether a lot of famous people are into pedophilia or not, that does not mean that he was a pedophile. And Lou says, I don't know what kind of parent will leave their kids with a grown-ass man. Well, a lot of parents leave their children with grown-ass men within the family, and they are raped within their families. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people leave their children with quote unquote grown ass men or grown ass women. He slept with children who weren't his kids. You know, he did, but did he molest them? You know, I'm just saying. So chill, back to you. You know, I understand what you're saying, but what I want to ask you is, do you believe in an eye for an eye? Like, if you kill somebody, you should be killed. If you rape somebody, you should be castrated or whatever.
I don't know. I don't necessarily believe in that. Because, like I said, you can be in this place where there's a lot of redemption to be had in someone that makes a mistake. And a lot of people who do make those mistakes, they grow into somebody that being here, they're more useful than not. And so it's always it's crazy, because that's the Bible term, an eye for an eye, but it's a whole lot of forgiveness that is preached in the Bible as well.
Oh yeah, so that's, yeah, you're right, that, you're right.
So it's always be that person's one thing where they want to, you know, quote that or reference an eye for an eye when it's their one thing. But when it's their child or their son, or they, whoever, whatever soft spot for them, it's oh no, well, you know what I'm saying? And which is normally is, because how can you think if your son or your daughter, who you know at their core, might have made a mistake, they drunk driving or something like that, or they were not in their right mind and something worse happened, and you look like, dang man, like you don't want your son to leave you know what I'm saying? So
okay. Chill, again, I understand what you're saying, but so do you tell the parent or the spouse or whomever, the children, do you tell them to get over it because my child needs to move on?
Who said that?
No, I'm asking because it sounds like, I mean, because I just want to make sure that I understand that, you know, how long do you know they made a mistake, but when someone is accused of something and they didn't do it, you know, it can really screw someone up, like screw them up for a long time, or it just screws them up, period.
Or if you
kill someone, you know, yeah, you may have been 13 when you did it, and your child may have gone to a juvie and they're out, you know, whatever, they're trying to live their life. But what about that family who they just can't get over the death of a child? And a lot of parents get divorced after children have been killed. So, you know, so it's like, so what do you do? Because your child may have spent time in prison and then they're out and whatever, and they're trying to rebuild their life. They found Jesus, or you know, they're a better person and they're doing well, whatever. But every day I'm missing my kid.
Maybe they're not. Maybe they're alcoholic, drug addict, stealing, robbing, thieving again. It's like, but either way, is I get what you're saying. But my point is that do we base our decisions on our visceral hatred or whatever we have for the situation? Like that's, I don't like operating. Like, I think that's the way the world, that same people will criticize the world on why it is, but the reason why the world is the way it is because of that attitude, that ideology. That.
But is it the fact that you accuse me of something I didn't do? I spent years in prison.
What I'm saying, what I'm saying to you, that mindset is why the world is the way it is now.
But is that wrong? I mean, do people, are people justified for feeling that that way? Are they justified for having that mindset?
Wrong or right thing. It's not a justification. I'm not saying that, who knows? I'm just telling you the result. I can't tell a person if they're wrong or right, but you can tell them the result of their actions or what you feel like their actions are, or they had an intent like that. I truly believe that attitude is why we are the same people who complain about the world are those kind of people. So they perpetuate the same thing they complain about. Because they're not that, because that's the reason why the world the way that right there, that attitude is the why the world the way it is today. Period. To me. That, and so you gotta break the cycle somewhere. No matter how much the hatred, I mean, even if you believe in God, he preaches that more than eye for eye. He preaches forgiveness. And sometimes you be like, no, hell no. I mean, I get it. I'm not even mad at that. I'm just saying the lack of balance. Or the lack of, you know, or the selfishness in the world. That's all of that is, or the.
Well, can't I mean, get over. I would be reluctant to say that it's those people who are doing it, because I would say, well, maybe the people who are out there instigating it in the first place should be the ones that stop first, you know. But don't say, well, yeah, you know, it is you, because I'm sorry, I think that they're justified. So, shorty.
Yeah,
so,
crazy people gonna be crazy people, or do stupid, or stupid people, or whatever. That's gonna do certain things. That's gonna cause that. But that the reason why that little girl is the way she is, because of that attitude, that same kind of attitude, that lack of forgiveness, that lack of caring, that lack of
maybe.
Yeah, maybe, but see, if it's something terrific happened like that growing up like that, you know what I mean? That person killed that little girl father or something like that, or mother, you understand what I'm saying? Or do something to that little girl that makes that's the only person that they have in their life, and just boom, bam, just out of nowhere, just took it from them. That person gonna have that hatred in their heart, they gonna try to get that justified for themselves.
Maybe for a moment, but then maybe not. I know plenty of people who don't wish the same thing that they like. You see it in courtrooms all the time. That like, hey, I don't want him to die. I don't want him to do that. I want him to learn from this experience. I want him to be better. I want him to be a light to the world. I want him, and sometimes and to think about the effect they can have in that right as well. So we always kind of look to our own, like I said, justifications for our hatred or our whatever we call it. But they don't even think about the other side and how I can.
Some people can't get past that. Some people.
I get it. I'm not criticizing it. Right. I get it. I'm not criticizing it, but I'm saying that those actions can also determine how your life is. Like, I still don't want to let that weight get to me. Like, it's hard. I've been through some things in my life, but I still don't want it to define me. I got kids to raise. I got people that's around me. I don't want to. I want that to ever take away, like have a hold of me. You know what I'm saying?
So let me just get back to my main point here is, should defendants have victim statements?
Yeah, I don't even know how that's, I don't know if it's possible at that point. Like, unless they feel it.
What I said was, like I said before, should the person who accused you, mm-hmm, be mandated to come to court or some meeting room somewhere, you know, if it was a national trial, should you be allowed to call the media, whatever, and should that person have to sit there and listen to you make your statement of what you accusing me has done to my life? Should they have to go through that?
Get that though, like when they get like released or something, they get on the press and they do that though. I know most of them do, like especially do that.
Should the person who accused them be there? Should they? That's my question. If I accuse you, I mean, you can get up in front of the camera and say, oh, you know, I'm happy to get out because, you know, I'm happy to get out and stuff. And that's what most people say. Oh, I'm happy to have my mom and dad. But should they be, you know, should the person who did it to them, should they be made to be there so that victim can address their accuser and
for
say,
sure. I, I don't mind okay. that. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't even mind if they put their ass in jail. Shit, for a good amount of time, too.
I wouldn't so, even mind. Okay, so if I spent 20 years in prison for something I didn't do, can you accuse me, then should you have to go to prison for 20 years?
Hey, I wouldn't even mind if that was the result. I wouldn't mind. I mean, because that would probably deter somebody from doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so what's the difference then you, if you're okay with them going to prison for 20 years or 5 years, however long you spend in prison, what's the difference mm-hmm. for me constantly reminding you, even though you're out free walking around trying to, because you made that dumb mistake when you were 12, 16, whatever, how come I can't keep reminding you of that over and over and over?
Well, I mean, the laws are the laws, right? So laws are laws. We're not enforcing the laws. It's just a law as a deterrence. So that's what I'm saying. Like, as far as the result of me wanting somebody to suffer because of what they took from me, that's different. Trying to enforce a law over the land and then someone's personal vendetta, completely different.
Okay. And Crazy says, yep. Lou says, hell yes. And Crazy says, if they knowingly put me there and knew I was innocent. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I believe in an eye for an eye. I do. You know, because I think that, you know, chill, and I understand what you're saying. You know, this is the reason why the world is the way it is. Well, maybe if we did start doing this eye for an eye, and, you know, if you steal, you cut off your hand like they do in some of these countries where the crime rate is so low because they have laws like that. Maybe in America, the crime rate wouldn't be so high. If you rape someone, you get castrated. Right. You know, maybe that's what should start. Instead of saying, well, you know, if you just forgive and the Bible says this, no, don't put it on the person. And see, and that is what I have found. It's like, it's put on the person who, well, you just forgive them or move on, or how that's going to be a weight on you. Don't make it back on me. I didn't do anything. Oh, what about you?
On you, though. You? No, I mean, but, I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm saying your weight is on you.
If you allow it, if you allow it. But what I'm saying is instead of, but again, you know, I had two people tell me, I had two people tell me, we were talking about a certain subject, and both of these people told me two separate times, two wrongs don't make a right. I said, well, what about the wrong that this person did? Oh, well, I said, no, don't put it back on me. Like, I'm supposed to be the person say that all of a sudden I'm supposed to be the Christ-like person and do all this. What about you? You're the person who did it in the first place. So maybe if I did chop something off, your hand, your penis, you know, whatever, you know, that maybe that would be a deterrent. Maybe if you did, if someone was put in prison and they spent 30 years in prison for a crime that they didn't do because a police officer lied, or my next door neighbor lied because she didn't like me or something. Who determines what's equal?
Who, you know what I'm saying? Like, because you can rape somebody, that ain't, you don't castrate somebody because of that. That's not equal. That's different. That's not equal. It's not an eye for an eye. That's an eye for a whole damn eye, leg.
I'm just saying. And Lou said, I heard this the other day, when dogs hurt kids, they get put down when pedophiles don't. But pedophiles don't. I mean, you know, I mean, maybe the. That's, I mean, maybe these that's laws should... sticky
at. Like, that becomes sticky. And then ages become sticky. Like, if it's a 10-year-old do something crazy, you're going to cut off a little 10-year-old boy penis. Like, so it's just... And then on top of that, are people not doing what they're supposed to do because they feel like they want to do it because they're supposed to do it. They're doing it because of fear of, you know, reprimand. That's
okay.
Also
okay. All right. True. And then Crazy says, "What if you castrate the wrong person?" I mean, you're right. But then again, you know, what if you put the wrong person? What if you put the wrong person in prison? Which happens. There are people in prison that should not be there right now. So I mean, and Crazy. I mean, I totally get what you're saying. Hey, Crazy.
So I'm saying it can't be across the board. Is what I'm saying. It's typically case by case, and it's hard to be across the board, especially if somebody lying, because that would be crazy that I got my nuts cut off and I ain't even do it.
Well, I mean, right, so right, and this, right, right, and this, and this is, and this is what I'm saying. So, so people, so it's like, so how do you deter people from not accusing you if you did not do anything?
Crazy. I guess my point.
Bro, they still go to jail. They got the death penalty. You know, you shoot somebody, you still can get the death penalty in certain states.
Crazy. Go ahead.
So my point to that was, is if you put somebody innocent in jail, you have the right, you have the ability to reverse that. You cut their nuts off. There's no reversing that if you do that to the wrong person, is what I'm saying as far as like punishment goes, because you know how the system is. Now, if we had an elite system that absolutely knew for a fact that someone did something and that was the punishment, so be it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, who am I to say one way or another? But like, that the extreme punishment, eye for eye stuff, you know, as much as people want to cry that that's in the Bible, it also says in the Bible, it's completely contradictory, because you're not supposed to do things that people do unto you, because that makes you just like them. You see? So like, that's where the conflict comes in there. But as far as like, if you're, if you know, look, trust me, I used to be the you go low, I go lower type person. I used to be real petty, real vindictive, real, you know, stuff like that. And then, like I said, all right, like I, what happened to me was, is something did happen where I accused and punished the wrong person for something. I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, so that means that this whole system is run by people that have minds of humans. They're not computers. You can't get complete facts because it just doesn't work that way.
No. I'm talking about people who knowingly accuse someone. Not you made a mistake. Not that, oh, I thought it was that person. It wasn't. I'm talking about you knowingly accuse someone and they didn't do it. You knowingly. That is what I'm talking
about. That's what I said earlier, that if you knew that, then you should face the same punishment as them.
Right. So, yes, yeah, so I mean, that is what I'm talking about. You know, if you knowingly accuse somebody and you knew damn good well that they were innocent.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good
idea. No, they definitely need bigger punishments for that. For real, for real.
Yeah, I think it's just what that person, that community will choose, how they choose to operate. I don't necessarily think it's a good or bad, and that's just a decision. Me, personally, mm-hmm. I err on always... redemption or tasking them or using that person. Like, I don't want to, I just feel like you better used. I don't give a damn if it's slavery. You know what I'm saying? If you want to put their ass up to work or some shit, like, you know what I mean? For some of the stuff they did, if you just kill a person, that only, if you really want to be vindictive, that ain't going to do nothing, but they go. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So if you really want to be a victim, that's not an eye for an eye. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, certain people, that's not an eye for an eye. If I rape somebody, I castrate somebody, or if I,
you know, that's somebody, not an eye for an eye. But
I mean, you might get murdered, but then, even then, is that really an eye for an eye? I just got off. You got off easy. Death is easy. If you really want to get back at somebody, death is easy.
Well, I mean, I don't know, Chill, because you have a lot of people who go to the gas chamber or whatever they're going kicking and screaming, saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't do it," and you know, or I'm sorry, not that I didn't do it. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you know, so you know, and.
Right, they're going. It's not if you get shot and you die. If they shoot somebody.
Okay, so what about what let's see, Lou says, let them get raped in jail for a while. Frankie says, this is a great dialogue. It is, Frankie. Thank you. So Lou, I mean, so what do you say about that? What did you say about a known rapist? You know that he did it. No. I'm sorry. What would you say if someone accused you of a rape? Because I'm talking about the accusers now. What if someone accused you of rape, knowing damn good and well that you didn't do it? Should you have to go to jail and get raped for a while? I mean,
no, they should have to prove that if you're going to punish somebody like that, that's the problem. That's the problem with capital punishment. That's the problem, because there's no way, unless you got somebody on video, and I mean on video, blatantly doing something, and you, without a shadow of a doubt, right? First of all, we're not supposed to We're not supposed to be the judge.
Okay, so again, I corrected myself when I said you are the person who accused that person, knowing damn good well that they did not rape that person. Should you, the accuser, then have to go to jail and get raped
and get that booty up?
No, okay. Because I don't know. I don't think that that's a proper. I mean, did the other person go to jail and have that happen to him? And then the other person,
I mean,
you know what I'm
saying? I mean, what if they did it? I mean, if you're in prison for a while, you could be a victim of sexual assault. Oh, so well, you could be a I'm victim just saying.
Go to prison. Like a lot of those people that's that sick, they victims from jump. They as a child, they was victims.
Yeah, you could go to jail from anything and be a victim to that, to be honest. So
well, I'm just saying, I'm talking about like, a lot of people who that sick that do sick stuff, they sick people for a reason. And so that's another thing. I might be a sicko for a reason. I might have been molested, raped, then like and then I you know, hurt people, right? And so where does it stop? We can always get back.
That's my point right there. Where does it stop? That was my original point. Like, so we keep on just we one person does this and so we do it back to them and they do it to them and then that's why I'm saying
I am just saying that what would be a deterrent for people not to accuse other people of accusing
a harsher punishment not necessarily
if they knew okay I'm gonna accuse this man of rape here. And if I knew that my punishment was going to be, well, then you get caught lying, you're going to go to prison for 10 years. Would that be a deterrent for me not to do it? Or am I just going to take my chance and say, well, I'm going to accuse him?
Depends on who you are.
Okay.
I'm a lot better. I'm a lot better.
That depends on who you are. Do you know there's some people that be like, oh, well. But then there's other people that are be like, because that depends on the person. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're asking questions that have massive, the same kind of variables that everything else
does. Yes, it does. And Lou says,
get out of Dodge. I'm 2 years they've been in jail. I'm in Mexico. I'm in Italy somewhere living.
Lou says, false accusations should get the same penalty. Shorty, you wanted to say something?
Her mic.
If you're talking, you're really low. So I don't know.
God, I hate this podcast.
Really,
is so stupid.
Really low, Shorty. So you may want to pop out and pop back in and see.
Yeah, she popped out. I don't, she...
What?
Okay. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. Here, okay. Now. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. What was the question? I'm sorry. I'm trying to fix the damn.
I mean, just do you? I mean, I saw that your mic was blinking on and off. I was asking, did you want to say something?
Oh, forgot what I was gonna say.
Do you want to make a comment on anything that Shorty Chill? I'm sorry, that Chill Crazy or I was saying. Did you want to comment or anything people say in the chat?
I forgot. I'm gonna just bypass that and just
okay. Move on. All right. All right, so and Crazy, I know I told you when the other day you weren't on the show, but I said I'm going to use Crazy's delicious word because I think variable is a delicious word.
I got in trouble for that. They were like, you weren't even there, and I was like, I did. I couldn't.
Did you really? Oh boy!
He told me it was crazy, and then I didn't see crazy the whole show. I was like, no, she. I was like, I didn't tell her to do the show. They were like, she said, and I was like, no.
I mean, my goodness! Don't people listen when they're in the show? Do people not listen? Do you all not listen? Did I say and crazy? I said her Oh, good Lord! Anyway. Anyway, sorry if you got in trouble for that, but I like everybody who's here, anybody who listens on a replay, I like the word variable. And I say it is a delicious word.
She do.
When Crazy first brought up the word, I like the word because it works and it fits. So
just because there's so many outcomes, like how do you put that? Like that's where my brain, that's exactly what, because math, it's the same thing, equation, variables, all the things, because A lot of people could say math is actually is absolute, but it's not. So there's variables in math too. So like that's, but my brain picks it apart. So a variable, like you, if you ask a question, just think about 10 people in the room. Every single one of them individually is going to give you a different answer because every single one of them has a different variable.
Of course, of course. Like they say, you know, an accident. Everybody was standing on the same corner. They were all facing the same way, and they all saw different things. So is there any way that? Okay, so let me ask this: when people recant, should it be something where whether or not the recantation sounds crazy or not, that person who's in prison should automatically get a retrial? Should the law be that if someone recants that they automatically So whether or not the judge thinks that it makes sense or the prosecutor, doesn't matter.
Yeah, who cares? Because the person who gave you the original story recanted it. I actually had this situation. I still ended up with problems because the person recanted, but they pursued it because of the original statement. And I was just like, but they said they dropped the thing and they recanted their statement. Why am I still in trouble? I don't understand. Oh, because the state picked it up. That's why, because they realized that they could prosecute. So
okay, and then my other question is, when people get out of prison and they get their millions of dollars, should that money come from the state, or should a lien be put on someone's house? I mean, shouldn't some of that money come from the person who accused you in the first place? Who
Restitution, baby, restitution. Mm-hmm. Listen, the person who accused somebody and was found to be factual that they knew that they were lying should be absolutely partially responsible for the damages. 100%.
Okay, yep. So let's say it's a $20 million award, and let's say it's supposed to be split half and half, 10 from the state, 10 from whomever. Joe Smith can't pay his whomever, but you know, you got your $10 million from the state or whatever. Joe Smith can't pay his. Should Joe Smith be required to go to prison?
Well, how long was I in prison? So that's what I would think. I'd be like,
okay.
Well,
okay, let's say you're in prison for 20 years.
Well, maybe he should have a trial. How about that? Maybe he should have a trial to decide whether he should go to prison or not. What's his restitution for my damages?
Right.
Okay, so then that means that the trial should definitely have some type of a penalty. Meaning because what if the jury
probation
says, well not, the I least. Mean, but probation for me being, I mean, I don't care about
it. I don't want to be the one to pick. Let's put it that way. So if it was me, I would be like, I want him to have a trial against people and they would have a jury, and it's not his choice. He don't get to choose where he has a jury or not, or whatever the case may be. And that's assault. You lied.
I agree.
Why are you not on trial for something that you did that put me in jail? Now, whether they get 20 years, if I got $10 million from the state, I'm not sure I would care if they did 20 years. I would probably be like, you know, like, I feel like you should get what you deserve. Now, whether that be from the actual state or, you know, later on when you meet your maker, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, that person shouldn't get off scot-free. A lot of them do.
Don't want that, though. What if I get out and say, you know what, I learned, you know, I was in there for something I didn't do. I learned that, you know, live. I don't wish that on nobody. I don't want them to do nothing to the person.
And then that should be fine. I think that would be the choice. I think it should be the choice of the person who it was wronged, because they should be able to, because you could, if I did something to you, Will, you would have the option to charge me or not, right? Call the cops or not. So if someone got out and, because I'm going to tell you, I've done some things that later on when I did some time and had punishment for other things that I didn't necessarily do, I would chalk it up to the game is what I called it. Like for things that I probably should have been punished for, but wasn't. But if it had been like an extended amount of time, now that might be different. But if it was like, in some cases was like 3 months, okay, well, I probably deserve to be there for something else I did. So that's why I'm saying, like, it shouldn't be up to the state. State shouldn't be able to file charges on somebody who recants. I know because I was caught up in a situation with that. And, or at least that's how I feel. And then the person who was wrong should have the option to press charges on the people who did them wrong, because that was an assault as far as I'm concerned. And if the person that did you wrong is, because they do this now against state police, you know, stuff like that, entities that are suable, but people should start being able to charge people that did that to them, that made a false statement. It shouldn't be a state's decision, because that's where a lot of them get off scot-free. Oh, it's a little girl. She's 16. Now she's crying. Oh, my God. She didn't mean it. You know, whatever. You know, now she's whatever. I'm just saying. There should be something.
Okay. Let me put in this. I just got a message from a friend of mine who is listening in, but they can't put anything in the chat. She just messaged me, and this is what she said. I just put in the chat. She says, listening, or I can't add, there's no debtor's prison. Don't reopen that door. Put state on the hook for all the money. Joe Smith pays the state back. They can garnish their wages. Do you believe in what she just said?
Why, though? Because the state wasn't the one. I only say no because then the state may take something. Because like Will said, what if I got out and I didn't care? If, you know, I got mine, I whatever, it is what it is, I moved on, and then they're still charging that person. I think it should be up to the person who was wronged to make the decision of whether they want to press charges, and that's just how I feel about it.
Okay. Hey, Smoke, I did not see you pop in. Okay, and Smoke says, what about the cost to the state for prosecution or incarceration? The person making the false accusation affected more than just the convicted person.
True. Then the state should charge them. They should be tried. I guess my point is they should be tried for what they did. Whether the state's doing that or the person that was wrong, doesn't matter. They should be put on, they should have a trial to rectify. And if they did the state wrong, then they should be put on trial. And if they have to pay restitution, that's what a court's for. That's what it's for. It's there to make the judgment.
But unfortunately, courts don't.
They don't, but I'm just saying that's what it's supposed to
be. You lied on somebody, you don't have to necessarily do the court. It's just certain processes. You can have certain laws in place that this is what happens in this state if you lie on somebody. The person has to choose if you want to, if they want to prosecute you, but or, you know what I mean, bring up charges against you. If these charges are, you know, for sure, and this is what happens. And then they may have to have a trial on what type of sentence you get, maybe, per you being a little girl or a grown man, or, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that'd be the play, but not necessarily other than that. How
there's a million different ways to do it, and you're right. It could be, but see, do you guys know there are already laws like this. They're just stupid. They're non-impactful most of the time. So,
well, I mean, and what Sari said was filing a false statement is a crime. And again, these last two are, again, what my girlfriend is texting me. She says, why should I reach in my pocket to go to trial? That will keep people from seeking justice due. Okay, when you say I don't know what that means when you say why should you reach in your pocket to go to trial? You saying as a taxpayer or I'm not sure what you're saying there. But
personally, I don't think the taxpayer has to do shit with it. But
so I'm going to wrap it up, Shorty. Do you have any? I'll start with you, Shorty. You have any last words of wisdom?
No, I'm okay. Y'all be good.
Okay. Thank you. Chill, you have any last words of wisdom?
Oh, man, you know, it's a good subject matter, though. I mean, it sparked a good subject matter and a good debate, because it's like the chicken or the egg. It's just a lot of feelings it provokes, right? So that's what the best conversations do. I don't think it's necessarily wrong, right or wrong, but we all got to live with ourselves in the end, right? And we just do our best. So, but yeah, good talk.
Okay. Oh, and she said as a wrong person. Okay. Girlfriend, you're going to have to, come over here next time so you can put this stuff in the chat yourself. Okay. But thank you for listening. Crazy. I shouldn't have to pay to relitigate is what she said. I'm sorry. Her messages just keep popping up on my screen. Okay. Crazy. Have any last words of wisdom?
No, I agree with Will. At the end of the day, you got to live with yourself, and that's really all that should matter. And unfortunately, we should hope that the laws and the justice system take care of the things and the people that do wrong, and they don't. But you're not supposed to take that into your own hands. You know what I'm saying? And that can only sometimes cause you more problems in the end, because hate begets hate, and that's how.
Okay. All right. And Crazy Lady, thank you very much for listening in. All right, y'all. So, I believe in eye for an eye. So, and is it going to weigh on my conscience if I absolutely know that the person, that you blatantly accused me and I was not guilty, it's not going to weigh on me at all. So that's not going to be a weight that's on my shoulders. So I may sound cold, but I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm going to leave me either, because it's not my judgment. That's how I feel, Crazy. So, all right, y'all. So I am going to leave you guys with PM Dawn, Faith in You. And I appreciate Shorty, Chill, and Crazy for popping up on the panel. And here you go.
Like the fortune tellers do, so I can't dream with you at night. Pessimism's hunger changes everything. I wish I walk with faith and not with sight. But you know, with anything you do, there's 100 people bringing you down. Even more, when no one else believes in you, I'll come.
And that was Faith in You by PM Dawn. Everyone, thank you so much for coming today. I appreciate your comments. I thought we had a good show. And I hope to see you guys tomorrow. Thanks so much for coming. Bye.